I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And there is an echo there, Matt, so if you could turn that echo off, that'd be great. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we'll do our best to get your computer comments, questions, and concerns taken care of during the program. And as usual and customary, we do have some technology news we want to get to. One of my issues is the California Proposition 22. So there is a fight going on there in California where the labor unions were working hard to make drivers of Uber and Lyft employees, even though these folks were using an app and going to work on their own time and their own desires to go ahead and earn a few dollars extra. You know, the folks in California were working really hard to try to get these folks as employees. And Uber and Lyft came back with a counterpunch, and Proposition 22 passed with 58% of the vote. When I say passed, it means the people of California defeated the folks who wanted to make Uber and Lyft drivers employees and allowed them to continue to be gig employees, which is a good thing. You can't make everybody, an employee just because it fits your model. If these people want to go to work and do what they want to do when they want to do it, they should be able to. And, of course, I would tell you Uber and Lyft would have had an alternative by just making those folks franchisees and gotten around it that way. So I think they were going to win this battle either way. Of course, this battle will continue forever.
No, I think about a couple of years when the self-driving cars come out. Then they won't need the driver.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Actually, that technology is on its way. I still am scared to death of it. We'll see what happens. But it's a $10,000 add-on to your Tesla.
Well, the people in California like to pay high prices for everything.
Yeah, that's true.
They make a lot of money there.
That's true. So we'll put a link up here to the story. You can see how 58% of the vote came in. With only 83% of the votes counted, sounds like deja vu, right? It looks like folks who want to drive for Uber and Lyft can still do it whenever they want, and they don't have to be considered employees. What do you got there, Bob?
Okay. Portland, Maine bans police from using facial recognition software. The move strengthens the city's ban on facial recognition technology for city officials. On Tuesday, citizens of Portland, Maine passed a ballot initiative banning the use of facial recognition and surveillance technology by law enforcement, The Bangor Daily News reported.
Yeah.
The Portland City Council had banned use of this software by police and city agencies in August, but this measure strengthens that ordinance. The new measure gives citizens the ability to sue the city for illegal surveillance, requires the city to suppress evidence illegally obtained through surveillance, and makes violations by city employees grounds for suspension or termination. The Portland Press Herald reported, it also allows a citizen to receive $100 per violation or $1,000, whichever is greater, plus attorney's fees.
Wow.
So the ban does not apply to private companies. Portland, Maine isn't the only city with a facial recognition ban in place. Since 2019, San Francisco, Oakland, Boston and Cambridge, Massachusetts, have also prohibited its use by public officials, while Portland, Oregon, banned private companies and public agencies from using the technology in public places.
Interesting. All right. We're going to see where that goes. All in the name of security. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. trying to prevent us from becoming like China.
Yeah. So another news, when this whole COVID thing started back in March, I had predicted, you know, I'm not the sharpest tack in the drawer, but it didn't seem too hard to predict this, that snow days are going to be a thing of the past. And, you know, if you're going to be able to work remotely and go to school remotely, you know, you don't need a snow day anymore. Just go ahead and do your work remotely. Of course, you know, I know some folks that are in education and they're like, oh, no, that'll never be the case, Eric. Come on. And then, of course, Glastonbury last week told everybody, no more snow days. And it's going to happen everywhere, really. I mean, if you're a teacher, wouldn't it be great to know when your school year ends every year? Because without a snow day, there's no variable. So I think most of the teachers out there would appreciate it. Most families would be appreciative of knowing when the school year ends.
Yeah, but the kids aren't going to like having to stay home and not being able to go outside and make snow forts and snowballs.
No, Bob. Snowmen. Kids don't go outside anymore. What are you talking about? All they did was just instead of going on the screen for school, they go on the screen for video games. I mean, they're not going outside. When we were kids, we didn't have that, so we had no choice, right? Just the parents said, get out. So I'll make another prediction. I mean, that was an easy one, I thought. But the next prediction is this. This might be a little disruptive. But, you know, we talk about failing schools in some of these cities here in Connecticut and the achievement gap. And you've got students who are connecting, right, to the failing school to work remotely. Well, if you're a parent, wouldn't you rather they connect to one that's not failing? I mean, the idea of busing being a limiting issue is now no longer the issue if you're connected remotely. So I'm going to predict that there's going to be some level of ability for kids and parents to decide, you know what, maybe the school choice thing is doable now with remote learning because there's literally no impediment. Why should I connect to a school that's failing, have my kid connect to that school? I want to connect to one that's succeeding, you know? Maybe there's a great science teacher in Farmington versus Enfield or vice versa. Why do I have to connect to the failing one? If I'm a parent with kids in the private school, a public school, this is giving them choices, much more choices. I mean, if remote learning works, since March, we've been forced to do it. You can't have it both ways. Either it works or it doesn't. If it doesn't work, get back to school. If it does work, well, maybe choice is going to occur. So we'll have to see what happens with that. But I want to predict that this new approach to school is going to disrupt school itself. And if snow days are a thing of the past, maybe being stuck in a failing neighborhood school will be the thing of the past too. Now, thanks to technology, you know, it's a very disruptive thing, and for everybody, no matter where you are. So I just found that one of those things. I mean, we'll see what happens. I'm just trying to think ahead, and things are going to be different going forward, I suspect. Did you want to bring anything else up, Bob?
Yeah, I got another one.
All right.
Right to Repair scores a win in Massachusetts to provide vehicle data. Voters gave the green light to allow third parties access to all sorts of vehicle data previously locked away. Election Day in Massachusetts brought a victory for Right to Repair supporters as voters passed Question 1 in the state, which gives parties access to all sorts of vehicle data that was previously untouchable under the law. Opponents shook their heads and warned of privacy invasion, while those in favor celebrated what they think is a big win for future tools and technology.
Privacy invasion, to know whether or not your car needs an oil change?
No, it's not for that.
Oh, okay.
The goal of the new regulation is to give independent shops a level playing field with dealership service centers.
Okay.
Should something go wrong on the systems affected by this data, car owners would have to take it to a dealer. Now, any shop can access the data, which proponents believe gives owners more freedom to take their car anywhere they'd like or simply tackle the job on their own.
Mm-hmm.
In the opposite corner, automakers heavily opposed the new rule and argued the data includes sensitive information that third parties could use in nefarious ways, even things such as where and when a person drives up is for grabs when the information is available for others.
Well, I mean, that's been the case anyways. I mean, I didn't know that the dealerships are great. I have no problem with dealerships. So why would they be more apt to secure the data than the non-dealer? I don't understand that.
Yeah. So with the new cars, with the built-in GPSs and what have you, they can track where you drive.
Sure.
How far you drive.
Of course.
And
who's they?
How fast you're going on what roads.
Yeah, that's true. Who's they, Bob? That's the problem.
The dealers right now. Yeah,
well, again, they don't care. That's kind of a silly argument.
So the rule does not go into effect until 2022. So any cars produced before then won't need to abide by the regulation.
Mm-hmm.
However, in 2 years, the immense amount of data will be open to anyone who wants to access it.
It's interesting that we have to have all these right to do this and right to do that type of legislation. I mean, even with Apple, you know, right to repair an Apple product. You know how hard it is to get access to being able to do that? I mean, it's pretty hard. Apple doesn't want you to use a independent repair shops because if the phone's not working so good, you know, maybe the battery's not charging or it's working really slow. Remember we had the old issue with throttling? They want to have you just turn it in and get a new one rather than having a third party say, hey, there's nothing wrong with this phone. They're throttling it.
Well, to me, what this shows is those states that have ballot initiatives have the ability to kind of override the lobbyists.
The politics, the lobbyists.
The lobbyists who lobby for these laws in the first place.
Yeah, well, very good. Well, good for Massachusetts. It looks like you can get your car fixed anywhere you want
we
now.
We don't have ballot initiatives in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know Connecticut. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood here. It's gorgeous Saturday morning. Feel free to get online, though, if you ever had some computer issues you'd like to take care of, or if you want to talk about, you know, the ability to have your kid remote into a school that is not failing versus one that might be failing in your neighborhood. Now with the beauty of the hybrid learning or the remote learning, you know, maybe there can be a way to solve that problem for you and your child. What's your opinion on that? We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab on a beautiful Saturday morning here. No snow days going on here. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we can talk about technology. And we're going to go right to your calls because you're nice enough to join us on this beautiful morning. Let's go to William in Hartford first. What's going on, William?
Good morning, guys. I have an issue with regard to the speed at which iPads run sitting at the kitchen table. The setup is I have an Aris modem, my own. Mm-hmm. Netgear R6080 router with a PC hooked up directly with Ethernet.
All right.
Okay, the PC is running, just to look at the download speed, is running in the 70 to 85 range.
Yeah.
The two iPads are running in the 30 to 36 range with the iPad about 2 feet from the router. I get down to the kitchen table and which is about 60 feet away. I just pasted it off.
Yep.
The reception or the run speed seems to slow down dramatically, and it seems to come and go. So I'm wondering. I went to Best Buy the other day, and the kid said to get an Orbi extender, and I said I don't think that's going to do what needs to be done. So I didn't do that.
Well, good.
I'm wondering what you're suggesting.
Well, when you move closer to the device, your router, it doesn't change your performance, right? You're still roughly 30 megabits on your iPad?
You know what? I haven't. Yes, that's correct. It does not.
All right. So the Orbi would have been a ridiculous recommendation because no matter how close you are, the performance is bad.
Right. It's going through a little funnel somewhere. Yep.
Well, it's either the Wi-Fi adapter within the iPad is bad or older. How old is this iPad?
There are two. One's probably a year and a half old, and the other's maybe 4 years old.
Okay, so they're both different flavors of iPad, both giving you poor performance.
And the older one at the moment was running a little faster than the newer one.
Huh.
And by the way, I wiped out everything running in the background. I wiped out all the history on the iPad, so I hope there was no interference there.
No, there wouldn't be. It's all a matter of the radio signal. So your router itself, does it put out a one SSID? Is it a 2.4 gigahertz SSID, or is it got the 5 gigahertz SSID? It's got both.
We can choose either. Generally run the 2.4.
Okay. So 2.4 generally will be slower.
Uh-huh.
It gives you more distance, but it will be slower. If you try the 5G, you know, at 60 feet, the 5G shouldn't be impacted whatsoever.
You know what? I misspoke. We're running the 5G.
You're running the high speed, and you're still getting only 30 megabits.
My wife tells me I'm wrong in the background, but she's going to check it.
Welcome to the club.
By the way, I went on the router to make sure there were no spurious users in the background, and I looked at that router website.
Yeah.
And the only stuff showing on the router was my own stuff.
Right. And your normal speed when you connect your other computers, not the iPads, is what?
The PC is running in the neighborhood of 70 to 85.
70 to 85, you did say
running
that.
The 5G. No. We're just running the regular net.
We're running 2.4.
Oh, yeah. You are 2.4. Okay.
All right. So we should go to 5G.
Try the 5G and see if you get better performance. Just choose that SSID. And if it changes and improves for you, problem solved.
Okay.
But we're too far away.
If it doesn't.
It could, if you're too far away, then you might not have a good signal, but just check it out at least. It would try the 5G at the close range to see if you do get the improvement. That way you can at least see it for yourself and understand the difference in that. And then as you walk away, you know, if you're at the kitchen table and you need 50 megabits, then you're maybe out of luck. Maybe the wireless adapter in your iPad is just not capable, because you already know your computer is. Is your computer hardwired or wireless?
Yes, hardwired.
Hardwired. So it's we actually can't test the wireless on the PC side. Do you have any access to another?
I could switch it over to wired. Wireless.
You could. Okay, try that.
PC, yeah.
So do some testing too to see what 2.4 wireless on your PC does and 5G does.
Okay.
Do you have a coach there?
Yeah, I do. Tell me, and the question is in the background, we're showing on the iPads probably a dozen other Wi-Fi input sites, some of which are clearly neighbored with named with neighbors' names.
Exactly.
You know, one of the things you might look at is what channel are they broadcasting on. If you can look and see your neighbors, you should be able to see what channel.
Right.
And maybe change the channel
on yours.
On yours.
So if you're all really close by on that same channel, you could be interfering. Yeah, you could be interfering with each other. So you would want to choose a different broadcast channel.
That could
help too.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
Well, that we're going to have to get a credit card for that.
Okay.
within your router, you'll go ahead and go to the Wi-Fi configurations, and you can choose which channel you want to put out the broadcast on. The 2.4 gigahertz can go on XYZ. Well, I shouldn't use letters, numbers, and the 5 gigahertz. So you have to go into your router to do that.
Typically, there's a drop down somewhere.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you specifically on yours, but let's not do that yet. Let's do some of the testing we talked about. 5G on your iPads, test your PC on these wireless, see if you can get some sort of consistency in the speeds depending on which wireless you're on, and then start looking at channels, because, yes, you can bang into each other and produce poor performance.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sometimes the neighbors don't show up at all.
No hours.
They could. So I've had people call on the show that tell me they turn off their devices when they go to bed.
Yeah, I've done that. Yeah, I suspect Comcast.
It could be.
It might have a piece of this too.
Maybe. Yeah, but you know, they're either broadcasting or they're not, and your device is either detecting it or it's not.
Okay.
So, all right, you got some things to try there, William.
I'll give it a try. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great day. Love the show.
Oh, thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye. Bye. It's important to know from where your connection comes. And so try to identify your SSIDs on the device you're broadcasting so that you can call it something. I like to call the SSIDs that I'm broadcasting FBI Van 3452. Kind of freaks people out when they see the FBI SSID or whatever. But at least you know it's yours and not some generic SSID. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC over the news. We're going to be here till 11. Also, we're broadcasting live over at Facebook. If you want to check out Bob and I, we're there over at WTIC's Facebook page live. Yikes, right? We'll be right back. are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's the one of the MCSEs at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we are live over at WTIC's Facebook page. Let's go to your calls, and we're going to go to John in Southington. What's going on, John?
Hey, guys. Thanks very much. I have a Dell Inspiron 3847. I have it. Right now it's running on an i5. It has integrated graphics and everything. And I recently upgraded the OS from the original that came in Windows 8 to Windows 10. Yeah. And I started using dual monitors. And I started getting lagging, like on Zoom calls when I'd open up a web page or something else like that. I'm wondering if I only have 8 gig of RAM. Do I need more RAM, or would a dedicated graphics card be a better solution or more economical solution?
Well, let's first start with your bandwidth. What do you have for internet speed?
Well, it's actually hardwired, so I'm getting like 100 or 80 or something like that.
Okay, that's not bad. That's good speed.
Yeah.
So there's no issue there. Your issue is probably with the computer. Right. The lagging could be caused by, you know, Chrome itself. It's a complete memory hog.
Oh, okay.
And if you've got Chrome browsers going, even for this show that we're doing, our Facebook Live, I have to minimize Chrome and on the device that's actually doing the stream, or the software will lag. So Chrome is a big pig when it comes to resources, and getting worse.
Yeah, and I have multiple windows open in Chrome typically, so...
Yeah, that's going to be part of it. So you can try adding a little RAM. That might help it, but it'll consume it. And what do you have for a hard drive? Is it solid state, or is it the old spinny kind?
It's the old kind. It's a 1 terabyte, you know, mechanical.
Just a standard drive.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so you might have some performance improvements if you went to a solid state. But if this machine is pushing 5 years old or so, don't spend too much money on it. It's better to get a new one.
Right. No, I was looking at, like, you know, I saw, like, there's a 2 gig Radeon that Dell recommends. It's going for, like, $40-$50 or something like that. So I figured that might be good to extend it a bit. And I thought if I had the dedicated graphics card, it would help. You know, just that it's not running everything through the motherboard and trying to use up the RAM and everything else.
I don't think that would make a difference, because your graphics processing of a Zoom call is really not that difficult for the computer to do. If you were doing 3D modeling for, like, CAD work, you know, like a SolidWorks program, you know, thing like that, then yes, you need a very powerful dedicated graphics card. But to show video is really not a very difficult thing for any computer to do. It's just that your machine is trying to do it all.
Right. Okay. I mean, I guess the short term would be just to minimize, shut down all the other stuff, and just run the Zoom call or something like that.
That would be the short term solution. Yes, minimize it. Allow Zoom to have allow that instance to have all your power, and that way you should be okay. Actually, you should do a test and see if that works. If it seems to be a consistent problem, it should be an easy test to do, and that would confirm it. Or try a different browser instead of using Chrome. You know, try using something that's a little lighter. Try Firefox. You know, maybe they're getting better at this stuff, but Chrome is pretty heavy these days.
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
His IE also is sucking up everything. So.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's part of your snag, I think.
All right, and you think maybe adding some RAM would help somewhat, at least in terms of getting processed. I don't have to necessarily go away from the integrated graphics card then.
Right, I don't think it's a graphics card that improves. RAM could help, solid state would help, but if the machine's in that 5 year range, because being Windows 8, it probably is getting near that. I would tell you that you should don't even consider putting more money in this machine. You're due for a new one. Whether 5 or 6 years old of a computer is really near its end of its useful life. You can go longer, but if you're starting to see performance issues that's affecting your work, a replacement would make sense to me.
All right. Very good. I mean, it's just light use and everything else, but it's when I'm streaming video or, you know, Zoom or whatever, and then opening up the additional browser windows or something like that, that's when I start seeing stuttering and the like. So.
Right, yeah. So don't go too crazy then, but, you know, I don't think you want to do too much there.
Right, okay. I mean, I just wanted to try the cheapest thing first, so.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Thank you very much, guys.
You're welcome, John. Thank you for calling.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, bye. Lots of variables to these issues, right? I mean, bandwidth issues, performance issues as far as the processor itself, you know, memory, all sorts of aspects of these solutions that have to be focused on before you go too crazy. Let's go on to Dennis in Glastonbury next. What's going on, Dennis?
Morning. I've got a TV question.
All right.
You guys can help me out. I finally cut the cable. I bought a new Samsung 50-inch, switched to YouTube TV, and love it.
Nice.
I still have my old 40-inch Samsung, which is 8 years old, and I'm just wondering, it's got one USB port. Is there a way to make that smart again, that I can use it in another room for YouTube?
To make it smart again. Yes.
So make it smart.
You need a device. I recommend one of the best devices is the NVIDIA Shield, and it would be the competitor to a Roku. It would be a competitor to an Apple TV. It would be a competitor. It's a Google device. It runs Android TV, I should say. And it's a NVIDIA Shield. And
that's with an N and not an IN. It's NVIDIA.
Right. NVIDIA, yep. NVIDIA is one of the major manufacturers of high-end video processing chips.
Okay.
So it's one of the lead players. So to have a device that's made by a video processing company like that so that it can do video processing is my logical choice.
Yep.
So you can make any TV smart with it because you're going to go ahead and plug it into not the USB port, but the HDMI port.
I see. Okay.
You're going to have that be the input to your HDMI, and then it'll go ahead and play your YouTube TV. And the beauty of it is once you've got one of these things, you can take it with you on vacation, right? You can take your entire TV, you know, whatever you're streaming with you on this little device, plug it into the hotel TV and just, you know, completely ignore any issues with what they offer you. If you want to take it away to anything, you just plug it right into the HDMI, and now you've got your streaming services that you subscribe to, and nice and
portable. So do I have to make any changes, or what? When I turn the TV on, will it know that it's will it show the YouTube?
Yeah, it should detect that it's got an HDMI device plugged into it, and it should automatically go to it as its source, and then the HDMI device will power on, which will be the Shield, and then you'll have a menu, and you can choose YouTube TV or whatever else you subscribe to, Netflix or Amazon Prime. You can put all that on there.
Terrific. Now, where do I get something like that?
Online is probably the best way. We'll put a link to it for you if you want to go to Computer Talk with Tab. Now, that's that's kind of a premium device. But
what's the cost for that? Do you know?
Probably around $250 or so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but try to make a dumb TV smart, you need a little technology. The alternatives would be like a Roku or a Amazon Fire Stick. You just need a thing to plug into an HDMI device to do the streaming. $199. Bob brought it up. It's $199 now. So could even go down further. Who knows? But you're going to pay for it once, and it'll last you a long. It's solid state.
Okay. Now, another unrelated question. Webroot. I just subscribed to that, I think, a week or maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then I got in the mail an envelope with a disk. Maybe is that just a backup disk, perhaps, that they sent me? There were no instructions. I went into the computer. It is loaded. I was able to scan with Webroot, but I didn't know what to do with this disk. Is that something I should just hang on to?
You can hang on to it, but downloading is the key. I'm not sure why they're doing that, but if you've already got the software, you're in good shape.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and just incidentally, I didn't know if you knew about it, but YouTube, I was excited because it had a lot of good channels, and it had SNY and Nessun, et cetera, but they just dropped Nessun.
I heard that. I mean, I was disappointed, but then again, I mean, now they got Alex Cora is back with the Sox, so maybe next season will be worth watching. I would contend they're going to work it out. And if they don't, the beauty of what we're able to do with these solutions is we can just cancel them. Right.
Yeah.
If YouTube TV can't get their act together,
right,
and it's
no contract.
And it's a deal breaker for you, then guess what? Go to a site that offers it, Hulu or whoever is offering it. I'm not sure who is. And then YouTube will lose subscribers. We can finally be consumers when it comes to this stuff, rather than being stuck in some sort of crazy package from the cable company.
Yeah, and switching, it saved me about 30%.
Paying
with Frontier.
Yeah, now the next step will be, you know, trying to get good broadband to your home where it doesn't kill your cost for using bandwidth.
Right.
So be careful. Watch your data caps on whatever you're using. because they're going to start whacking everybody for data cap usage above X, whatever it's a terabyte of data or whatever it might be. Okay. That's how these cable companies are going to try to fight back. That's why we need more access to other broadband companies.
Right, right. Okay, thanks for the information. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You guys have a great show. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. All right, so I think we'll probably have to step out for a quick break and then get back to more of your calls. So two lines open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk, and we are live over at WTIC's Facebook page. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk, and we are here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. We got one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Thank you for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. Let's go on to Gunther in Manchester. What's going on, Gunther?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have my problem is this. I was able to print until yesterday. Now I can't print anymore, and when I go into here to look for something, it says the printer is offline.
Yeah.
What can I do? I look through the printer and scanner pages there. I can't find anything where it says how to turn the printer back to online.
Well, number one, is it wireless or hardwired?
Wireless.
All right, yeah, that's what we both were thinking it would be. So we get these calls a lot. You need to do something to set that printer's IP as static. So you want to go to the printer configuration on the printer itself.
Yeah.
And designate an IP address, you know, 192.168.1. Dot something.
Let me write this down.
Yep.
One.
Oh, I'm using an example. So most internal networks, the IP address scheme is 192.168.1. Dot something.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that's what you've got in your network, and you got to choose that something at the last bit. So let's say we choose .50.
Okay.
And then you have to go into your printer settings within your printer itself and tell it, hey, printer, you're going to be at this address, 192.168.1.50.
And so, I see this on the computer or on the printer?
On the printer. So you want to go, should probably go and Google the printer's manual.
What kind of printer is it?
Okay, it's a Canon MX490 series.
All right, so we'll try to find that manual for you. But you're going to go into the printer's manual, and you're going to set a static IP address within your network scheme. I'm assuming the 192.168.1.x is your network scheme. Okay. Now that you've set the address, there's a device on your network called a DHCP server that is handing out addresses for everything that connects to your network, whether it's your phone, a laptop, your TV, whatever is connected. It's getting addresses from this device. It's typically your router. Is it your router, or is it a router provided by the cable company or internet company?
A router provided by the cable company.
Yeah. So, because you have less control over that, you can try logging into it. And you'd have to log into that router with whatever password they gave you. Sometimes the information is on the router itself.
Yeah, I know the password.
All right. You want to go into the DHCP server settings of that router and exclude the address you just gave the printer so that it doesn't hand out 192.168.1.50 to some other device.
Is there another thing? If I delete my printer on the computer and start all over fresh, would this help?
So it would. So you could make your printer come back again by just having your computer go find it again.
Yes.
So if you don't want to follow the route that I'm giving you, that'll end this problem forever.
I'm sorry, that's way over my head what you said.
No sweat. So that's okay. So, yes, you can go ahead and delete the printer from your computer, reboot it.
Yeah.
Make sure the printer's on, and then go to add a network printer. And then your computer's going to go out and try to find where your Canon's sitting now.
Okay.
And then it should redo it. But this problem will never end. I'm sorry.
But, you know, the thing is this. I have a second computer, and I can print with my second computer.
The second computer has already found the printer.
I don't know. I mean, I was trying to print something out. I couldn't do it on this one printer. So I went to this other printer, what's older, and I had no problem printing this out.
To a different printer?
To the same printer.
Same printer, yeah. So the computer was able to detect the new location of your Canon on the network better than the one you're trying to use.
Oh, okay. So I tried this first here. I'm going to undo this printer where it does the printer who doesn't the computer who doesn't print with the printer and reinstall this and see what happens.
That's an approach. That is definitely an approach.
Oh, okay.
All right, Gunther. Sorry about that. That's the problem with wireless printers.
Yeah?
It's just they keep getting new IP addresses, and then your computers don't know where they find
them. Both of them are wireless.
Both of them. So when you say both of them, the computers are wireless or the printer?
Both of my computers are wireless.
Yes. It's the printer itself that gets a new address all the time.
Okay. All right.
All right.
I tried this. So, and did you put a link up or what? Maybe I can look at after 11.
Yep, the link will be there as far as a manual for your printer. We found that
manual
already.
Manual for, okay. And how do I get to there? Sorry.
That's okay. It's the name of the show.com. ComputerTalkWithTab.com is the name of the show.com. And
right.
Go to the live links and you'll see your printer manual there.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, yeah, it does sound complicated, what I was describing to Gunther there as far as setting a static IP. But if your device keeps getting a different IP address and your computer is looking for it on the old IP address, for some reason, Microsoft is not sharp enough to go ahead and say, that printer moved over here. It needs to be told to. Every time my kids come back from college, they act like they can't print. And I'm like, I don't know why your computer just doesn't know where the printer is. And there's a static issue.
Some of the software that you install automatically detects the changes. And
yeah, get on that microphone.
That.
I can barely hear you myself.
Some of the software that you install will automatically, when it installs a port, a special port for the printer, it will, if the IP changes, it'll find it and then adjust accordingly.
Using that other port as the other way to find it.
Using the other IP.
Yeah.
So it'll change the IP on the port that you install.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that they do sometimes is they'll put a little utility that will scan the network and find that printer.
Right. For you. It's going to say, it moved on me. I'm going to try to find it for this guy before he tries to print.
And then some of them, you're on your own.
Yeah, right. And that's where you set it statically. So it's a little weird. It's a little bit of a pain in the butt, but it is what happens. Let's go on to Fred in Wallingford. What's going on, Fred? Let's see if I can help you out before the break here.
Yes. I have Comcast Internet and television service. When they came in, they installed a router, and some of my televisions are far enough away that I needed to do Wi-Fi connections. I tried buying the router extenders that Comcast offers, but it's not doing the job. Do you have any recommended extenders to take the Wi-Fi and get it to the more parts of the house?
Yeah. So first, are you trying to get those TVs to connect via 2.4 gigahertz or 5 gigahertz?
I would not know the difference.
It's important. It's important. It's an important issue. So you need to figure out which SSID is available for your TV to connect, and it has to connect at 2.4. The further it out it goes, the better, the stronger the reason you have to use the 2.4 gigahertz broadcast. So you need to go to Comcast and either ask them to help you separate those SSIDs, because a lot of times they broadcast them as one.
Okay.
So it's hard to troubleshoot, and you want to have your TVs find the 2.4 gigahertz. Now, as far as extenders, I don't like them. I don't have any I could recommend that are any better these days yet that I would say to you, Fred, go ahead and get this one. If even Comcasts don't work well, that's sad. it should be pretty straightforward.
We just would recommend that you get your own Wi-Fi device.
Right.
And you don't have to worry about the complications of an extender, which is just really a repeater.
Right.
And in other words, instead of using their router, get
your own.
Get my own.
Yeah, get your own. That's a better broadcast. It's going to maybe give you better signal by default.
And I can use that router. I mean, because I've had problems where the service hasn't been good for my, Wi-Fi or whatever. And I call up Comcast and they have me power down their router.
Yeah. And then power it back up again.
Right.
typically the cable company gives you the device that, according to the lowest bid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, so maybe taking your own control. Yeah. Try that 2.4 gigahertz. If you can find that signal, Fred, you might have good result by default too.
Okay. I'll call Comcast. Thank you.
Bye. Yeah. You're welcome. Good luck. And be careful with that too, because they're going to try to sell you, believe it or not, another service. Like, here's our internet service, and then here's our Wi-Fi service with your internet service, which is pretty much, they're both the same thing. So don't pay for it twice is what I'm getting at. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get in line, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. A couple lines open for you. Stick around during the news. We'll be right back.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.